chapter 6. Okay, Genesis chapter 6, and then Proverbs chapter 2. Oh, I forgot to mention, Saturday is when our basketball league starts. For the males, men. But Lowell's only going to have one team this year, so we play the third game, so that'd be the 7 o'clock game. Okay, Genesis 6, verse 5 and 6. This is the first time the word heart is mentioned in the Bible. Genesis 6, verse 5. The Lord and God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually, and repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. So you can see, if you want to believe the words, that thoughts came from one's heart. Didn't say brain, didn't say mind. It came from his heart. And then the Lord himself was grieved at his heart. Okay, then Proverbs chapter 2. Proverbs chapter 2. The word heart is found 830 times in the Bible. The plural of it is found 112. So the Bible mentions much about it. These references to the heart, are they poetry? Are they symbolic? Are they metaphors? Or is God revealing us something that man can't quite figure out, or recently may have figured out? Proverbs chapter 2, 1 through 11. These are a great passage of how you personally can understand truths. You can understand the Bible and the process. 2 verse 1. My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine, notice, heart to understanding. You know, that thing that pumps your blood throughout your body. Understanding comes through the heart, not the head. The head gets the knowledge. Verse 3, yea, if thou criest after knowledge, lift up thy voice for understanding. If thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord giveth wisdom, out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. He layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. He is a buckler to them that walk uprightly. He keepeth the paths of judgment and preserveth the way of his saints. Then shalt thou understand righteousness and judgment and equity, yea, every good path. When wisdom entereth into thine heart, and knowledge is pleasant unto thy soul, discretion shall preserve thee, and understanding shall keep thee. Okay, let's pray. Lord, I do thank you for this great book you've given us, and I thank you that this book reveals things about life. And every once in a while, man, science or technology catches up to it and does figure out some things, finds out the Bible is true. And I pray you'd help us to know what we should do with this subject and about our own personal hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. The reference in the Bible, often when people see the word heart in the Bible, they think they're referring to the seat of their emotions, your will, your mind. Often that's how people, there's one culture where they had the Bible translated into a tribe of New Guinea. And in our culture, people talk about believing with your heart, but in that culture, they talked about believing with their throat. Just the way that culture was. And so they changed some of those references in the Bible to believe in Jesus with your heart, to believe him with your throat, to match their culture. I don't know if that's right or wrong to do. But is the Bible just referring to your heart symbolically to be your seat of your emotions? Or does your heart itself, that pump in your body, does it have a mind, a brain? Does it send out information? Does it think? It's something really amazing to think about. I always find it interesting that some people try to find ways to discount the Bible. This last week, some guy emailed back and forth some guy, and he told me he didn't believe the Bible because it had unicorns in it. Do you believe in unicorns? So he's the type of person that wouldn't believe the Bible unless a little horsey with a horn sticking out his forehead showed up in his house and said, "Now you should believe the Bible." No, he would discount that too. And besides, that doesn't mean a unicorn is what we think it is. Just because he's never saw one doesn't mean it's not there. Doesn't mean it didn't exist. I remember reading about some scientist who's trying to discredit the Bible because in Job it mentioned that the oceans have springs of water springing up in the oceans. And he said that's a false statement. That shows the Bible is untrue. Well, another scientist who had done the study of that told him, you know, there is springs in the ocean. It's just that some people didn't figure it out yet. I remember reading about someone who discounted the story about the walls of Jericho falling down flat. Until an archaeologist, did some excavation work and found out the walls of Jericho fell down flat. And as you see, it's nice when God verifies those things, but if your faith is strong in the Lord, you may find some things in the Bible that you can't explain, but you know God's track record that he's been right. And until he gives you the information, if he wants to, but you should believe what he says. Does the heart think? Does the heart have emotions? Jeremy Lawson sent me this documentary about this topic, and it just intrigued me so much. And after watching, I stood back in awe of this book. This book's an amazing thing. But if you would, look in 1 Chronicles chapter 28, verse 9. I have been fortunate where I was able to go to Israel to see firsthand information of places where events took place in the Bible. And from what the Bible said about it as a most likely place it took place, where often people think it took place, was wrong. Sodom and Gomorrah, I actually stood on the ashes of Gomorrah, took my video camera and filmed it, picked up sulfur, as the Bible would refer to as brimstone. Those things, to see that evidence is nice. It's not necessary because you're more blessed of God when you believe what he says rather than have the evidence. But 1 Chronicles 28, verse 9, David said to Solomon, he said, "Thou, Solomon, my son, know thou the God of thy father, and serve him with a perfect heart and with a willing mind. For the Lord searcheth all hearts, and understandeth all the imaginations of the thoughts. If thou seek him, he will be found of thee, but if thou forsake him, he will cast thee off forever." Notice, perfect heart and a willing mind, two separate entities there. The heart is not the mind is not the heart. Does the heart think? Does the heart give forth emotions? Is there a connection, a strong connection between the heart and the brain? If you would, look at Matthew chapter 12. Matthew 12 states very clearly that words issue from your heart. Words issue from your heart, go to your brain, go from your brain to your mouth, or from your heart to your mouth. Matthew 12, verse 34, Jesus said, "O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. A good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things, and the evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things." Now, has medical science caught up to the Bible? A few years back, several years ago, there was a great plague over in Europe someplace, and the doctors, they couldn't figure out what was causing the plague and why it kept going on. They kept going on, and the doctors in that area would wash their hands in a basin, The Jewish doctors were washing their hands under running water. The Jewish doctors did not have the repeating of the plagues as the other doctors who discovered they should wash their hands under running water. Now, the Bible said this a long time ago. It's in Leviticus. For a long time, people in Europe thought the world was flat. The Bible said 700 years before Christ that it's a circle. You see, every once in a while, science catches up to the Bible. And we're living in a day and age where knowledge and transportation or communication has increased. Has man discovered anything about this heart yet? The Bible states the heart is intelligent and emotional. Proverbs 23, verse 7 says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Hebrews 4, verse 12, it says, the word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing and dividing asunder the joints and the marrows, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. The Bible states that the heart is intelligent and emotional, but is the Bible speaking figuratively? That's what a lot of people want to believe the Bible is doing. That way they can discount a bunch of things. Is it just beautiful poetic language? Again, that's what people want to say about the Bible, so they can ignore the passage where Jesus Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. So they want to make that poetry or figurative or symbolic so they can get out of the clear words right in front of their face. The Bible implies the heart is intelligent and emotional. The Bible talks about different types of hearts. A pure heart, Psalm 24. Proverbs 22, verse 11 says that a pureness of heart rejoices God. Have a pure heart, that's rejoicing to God. He gets encouragement, a blessing from that, from somebody to have a pure heart. Jesus Christ said, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 22, Paul exhorted Timothy about having a pure heart. Proverbs 14:30 mentions a sound heart. In 1 Timothy mentions a sound mind, but Proverbs 14 says a sound heart. A sound mind, a sound heart, you come up with sound words, you get sound doctrine. It's a reasonable heart. Luke 8, verse 15 mentions an honest and good heart. 1 Timothy chapter 1, Paul mentioned to Timothy about having a good heart. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 13 talks about somebody who has their heart that's established. It's established in the faith. That's your responsibility, to have your heart established in the faith. There's a young fellow in the Old Testament that had a great revival. God used him during his reign to have a great revival by the name of Josiah. And God told him, the reason why I gave you this information is because you had a tender heart. Now, there are some negative ones in the Bible. Mark chapter 16, verse 14, the Lord got mad. He was upset with his apostles, the disciples, and he upbraided them. He chewed them out because they had a heart of unbelief and they had hardened their heart. You harden your heart when you reject what the Lord says. It's a hard heart. Of course, Pharaoh did that multiple times. In Proverbs 14, verse 14, it says, a backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways. A backslider in heart is somebody that just wants to live their life not rejecting God, just ignoring God, doing their own thing. That's a backslider in heart. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 12 mentions an evil heart of unbelief. Proverbs 17, 16 is a comment about a lot of people, especially folks where they really don't want to know the truth. And it says they have no heart to wisdom, meaning their heart has no desire for the truth whatsoever. And you can talk to them until you're blue in the face, and they're not going to believe it because they have no heart for wisdom. Now, there's a documentary. You could view it on internet. And I was just simply amazed with this. And science, with the technology of today, seems to have discovered what the Bible said long time ago, that our heart does think. That our heart does have a brain, it does have memory, that it does have emotions. There's a fellow by the name of Paul Pearsall. He was having a bone marrow transplant for stage 4 cancer many years ago. And he was discussing with many of the patients before, you know, they get into surgery and whatnot. And some of the heart transplant patients started telling him about their personality changes and the changes of some of their taste. A woman by the name of Claire Sylvia of Boston was the first patient in the New Haven Hospital to have a heart and lung transplant, and she was the first person to make known or to report drastic changes in her taste and desires. When she was recovering in the hospital, after a few days in the hospital, the press came in and wanted to interview her because this was the first person there. One of the press people looked at her and asked a question about this great miracle that she had, and he said, "What do you want more than anything in the world?" She quickly responded, she said, "I'd die to have a beer right now." And that kind of shocked her, for her to say that, because she wasn't a beer drinker. She noticed that she started to like green peppers. Prior to this, she did not. She noticed that on the first time she was able to drive a car, that she drove the car to the KFC to buy chicken nuggets. She didn't understand why. She noticed that her handwriting was changing from right to left, going to left to right. She had a dream one night, and the dream was about a young man. In her dream, the young man was named Tim, and his last name was, she just knew by L. She didn't know his last name, just Tim L. And she thought the dream was rather strange, rather unique, and she called the transplant coordinator to verify or to try to get some information about the donor of her heart, the heart that she now has. She told the transplant coordinator about her dream and mentioned, was the person's name Tim L? The coordinator paused in her answer. She said, "Yes, it was, but I would encourage you not to ask any more questions." Of course, when you have something like that, you desire to know more about the person that donated their organ to you, who is dead now. And she found out that Tim L. liked beer, green peppers, and he had chicken nuggets found in his jacket after his motorcycle accident. And his family desired to know more and more information about Tim through the memories that she was getting as a result of this. This Paul Pearsall had started collating all his reports of these different people that had these experiences. Many heart transplant recipients reported to him of their memories about their donor. One woman was a very kind, gentle lady, very quiet lady, very nonviolent lady, didn't even like to be in the same room when her husband watched football. She was given the heart of a 28-year-old boxer. After that, she became rather loud and swearing at the television when she was watching football. She loved to watch football from then on out. This Paul Pearsall collated his research from all these experiences and he put it in a book called The Heart's Code. And he became connected with a fellow named Gary Swartz. This Gary Swartz is a fellow developed a theory about how memory works. He calls it feedback memory. And he was basically trying to explain how this worked. And then he got together with Paul Pearsall, and they started talking about the reports back and forth, and they decided to do more of a research. This Gary Swartz was going to write a formal paper about Paul's writings. And so they decided to look at about 10 of these 70 prospects that they had of the donors. And they discovered there was one man, he's a 47-year-old man. He received the heart of a young black man. He had fears that he was going to eventually like rap music. But after this heart transplant took place, he became obsessed with classical music. Didn't have that desire before, but he became obsessed with that, and it, of course, made him curious. And he found out that the donor of his heart was a 19-year-old black concert violinist. And he died in a car accident on the way home after a lesson. A fella named Jim, he received a heart, and he and his wife noticed several differences in him. He was not an educated person. He did not write very well. But after he received this heart transplant, he began writing poetry. And he had creative writing, very romantic poetry to his wife. And he discovered, after the research, that the donor's family wrote to him some of the poetry that he had written. Scientists in California have discovered that there are brain cells within the heart that contain memories and taste. Some of them believe, these scientists believe, that they have found a system of neurons in the heart. Researchers at the Institute of Heart Math, California, are investigating the possibility that the heart has intelligence, emotion, and feeling. Dr. Roland McCready, he explored the possible reasons for the memory and taste change of the recipients, and he calls it heart intelligence. He said the heart is the most accurate part of the body that reflects how one is really feeling. The heart sends more information to the brain than the brain to the heart. They discovered that neuron and hormonal connections are very closely interconnected with the brain and the heart. They discovered that the heart is the greatest generator of electromagnetic signals in the body. They have instruments now where they can measure that magnetic sense about 6 feet from the body. They did some research, and what they did is they took some people and asked them to look at these series of pictures. These pictures were pictures that would cause emotional reactions, positive and negative. They had a machine or some type. They could sense the neuron or the thinking apparatus of the body. They put it on the brain. They put it on the heart. And then they showed these pictures to these people. And from their study, they found that the heart would shift or change before the brain. They found out that the heart would send messages to the emotional center of the brain, and then the brain would send messages to prepare the body for action. There's a doctor in Canada, Dr. Andrew Armour, a neurologist. He found neurons outside the heart and on the heart. He calls it the little brain of the heart. It contains both short-term and long-term memory. I wonder if the brain in the heart may be the key that allows heart transplants to work. It's like, would it be like when you have a calculator or some little other device where the battery wears out and you take the battery out, put another battery in, but yet the memory, the short-term memory in that device is still there. And the battery helps it kick back in. The memory is distributed throughout the nervous system. Bill Wall, age 50 years old, or in the 50s, he received the heart of a 28-year-old stuntman from Hollywood. He was a businessman, but he was immediately transformed into an athlete. He began cycling. He became very furious in his exercise. His surgeon, Dr. Jack Copeland, immediately noticed the drastic change. And this Bill Wall got in touch with the donor's family and this boy's brother and everything, and they just had a connection ever since then. But you see, this doesn't occur it seemed to occur in all heart transplants, but it's just that some people are experiencing this. Now, is this science catching up to the Bible? Where the Bible said many, many years ago that the heart thinks, the heart has intentions, and the place where God looks in you and I, the place where God focuses attention is right on your heart. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 2, the Lord searched the heart of the children of Israel when they wandered through the wilderness for 40 years. Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 9-10, it says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. And then it says, the Lord searcheth the heart. You see, God's desire for your heart is found in Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 29. Now, this desire here is specifically for the Israelites when they were out of fellowship with God. And he had a prayer here. The Lord prayed. And you can see it's an urgent thing or an urgent desire because it ends with an exclamation point. And the Lord said to these Israelites, he said, "Oh, that there were such an heart in them that they would fear me and keep my commandments always, that it might be well with them and with their children forever." In Exodus chapter 25 and in 35, when he had the tabernacle and the people that served under the tabernacle, it said that they had a willing heart. And when a person has a willing heart, those are the ones that receive the rewards from God. If you would look in Proverbs 23, verse 15. What pleases God is for a person to have a pure heart, a wise heart. Proverbs 23, verse 15, it says, "My son, if thine heart be wise, my heart shall rejoice, even mine." This is God rejoicing when he's looking at your heart and he finds out that you have a willing heart, an understanding heart, a wise heart. Now, there's some men in the Bible that demonstrate what kind of a heart they had. What kind of heart? And I'm talking about just the physical organ, what it physically does in the body. The first time the word heart in the Bible is associated or is connected to a man is found in Genesis 17, 17. This is the first time you find the word heart associated to a man. Happens to be Abraham. Abraham is known as the man of faith. He is given more reference and more verses about faith than anybody alive. Abraham is a character that God has used as an example during all dispensations. You know, prior to the cross, prior to the law, during the law, after the law. I mean, during the church time period. In the tribulation, he's used as an example. In the millennium, he's used as an example. An unusual character. Abraham is a man that demonstrates growth in faith. And in Genesis 17, here's a place where he demonstrated a lack of faith. Genesis 17, 17, "Then Abraham fell upon his face and laughed and said in his heart, shall a child be born unto him that is 100 years old, and shall Sarah that is 90 years old bear?" Remember, God's looking at the heart. God picked up on that right away. You see, and Abraham's heart, eventually he was a great man of faith. He had faith at a time, and then he would waver, and then he'd come back, and that's how that thing works. Solomon, he asked God to give him an understanding heart that he might discern between good and bad, 1 Kings 3. Josiah had a tender heart, 2 Chronicles chapter 34. David was a man after God's own heart. And how do we get these things? A lot of times people miss the truth by 18 inches. Many Americans know about Jesus Christ in their head. They know Bible doctrine in their head. But that's not what's going to save. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart. How do you get it from the head to the heart? I mean, we have master's clubs where the kids memorize verses. That gets it in their head. It's their job to get it in their heart. Psalm 19, verse 14, "Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord." Meditation takes place in your heart. Memorizing takes place in your head, in your mind, in your brain. Meditation is when you take those verses that you have memorized and personalize them to you personally. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth, singular pronouns, me, and believe in thine heart that God hath raised from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. The key is the heart. Does the heart believe? David said in Psalm 119, verse 11, "Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee." That's when you read that Bible instead of just generic reading it. That's when you read that Bible and realize that that book is a letter from God to you personally. It's written to you and for you personally. Not your church members, not your pastor, not your parents, not your grandparents. It's written to you. And that is written to you, personalized to you, and that's when you meditate on it. Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself. It is your job and my job to prepare your heart. Ezra chapter 7, verse 10. It says, Ezra prepared his heart that he would seek the law of the Lord and do it and teach it. Proverbs 16, 1. The preparations of the heart is in man, but the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. You know, Ezra is an unusual book. It's one of the unusual books in the Bible where you have different books in the Bible named after men. But when it's named after a man, you'll find that man usually in the first couple chapters of that book. You don't find Ezra until you get 70% into the book. Why didn't he call it Zerubbabel? You find him right at the beginning. He's the main character. He's the one that's helping build the temple. Ezra wasn't there to build a temple. Ezra showed up later. What was it about Ezra that God admired, that God liked? Ezra prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord. You see, that's where the meditation comes in. And when you go back to Proverbs chapter 2 and you read that, it's your heart that understands. It's when you apply it to yourself personally. You see, in the New Testament, the Old Testament is a information about religion. It's only one religion that God has accepted throughout history, and that's Judaism. That's the only religion the Bible talks about from cover to cover. The word religion or religious is only found seven times, and in every case, it's dealing with Judaism. Christianity is not a religion per se, and if you look at the words very precisely in the Bible, in the New Testament, it's not the religion of Jesus Christ. It's the faith of Jesus Christ. And you find the faith, the first time you'll find that phrase is in Acts. Why? It's after Calvary. And there's only one Lord, one faith, one baptism. And the faith is in Jesus Christ. People always want to talk about religion. You get them off religion and get them on Jesus Christ. But you see, in the New Testament, the number one responsibility and the number one thing that you have to work on is your heart being established in the faith of Jesus Christ. If you would, look in Proverbs chapter 4. Not your head, it's your heart. God is looking at your heart. How do you know somebody's heart? About really the only way you figure out somebody's heart is with time. Time. Lots of time. I mean, Judas fooled him for 3.5 years. Proverbs 4, verse 20. My son, attend to my words, incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. Thine, T-H, personal pronouns. For they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Keep thy heart. Notice the word diligence. Every day, every moment, keeping your heart close to God by establishing your heart in the faith of Jesus Christ. Okay, let's pray. Lord, I do pray you'd help us to see that this book is so far advanced. This book, many years ago, said that our heart, the heart, imaginations, thoughts, intents, desires, emotions, feelings, memory. And Lord, I pray you'd help us to realize that it's the heart that you're searching, and that each of us would be diligent in keeping our hearts close to thee, tender, good, pure, holy, drawing close to thee, and that our hearts would be established in the faith. Where heads bowed and eyes are closed, many, many people sitting in church this morning believe in Jesus Christ with their head, but they've never trusted in him with their heart. personally. They're going to miss heaven by that. Many folks, when they read through their Bible, they just read it as a book and they don't read it personally. Those passages, those promises in the Bible are for you. Not just for men in the Bible, not just for somebody else. Those things are for each and every one of us. And when you personalize it and you memorize those and then meditate on it and you engraft it in your heart, that's when you draw closer to the Lord. The piano plays, the altar's open if you need it. If you have never trusted Jesus Christ and believe in Him with your heart, thine heart, not your husband's, not your wife, not your children, not your old granddad who was a preacher, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. It's a heart issue. Lord, thank you for a book that you've given us that is so far advanced of man. Every once in a while, you allow man to get some evidence, some things that he can see, to verify some things that you have said many years ago. There's many things in here that you have said that seem odd to us, to man, that you have not revealed any sight to it. And Lord, I do pray you'd help us to believe thy words with all the heart. In Jesus' name, amen.